Philippians chapter 1, verse number 8. Glory to God. I say this often, but it is familiar scripture here. And I don't have nothing new, I guess you say, but maybe some old time ways we want to kind of refresh it up on here.
Yes.
For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. I love this. That ye may approve, praise God.
Yes.
Amen. Things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense to the day of Christ.
Yes.
Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
If the Lord will help us, I got to look at this, and I think I've dealt with these scriptures in the past, several, you know, quite a bit. Some of you may remember some of these scriptures. I don't know. A lot of people forget. Amen. Talking about Brother L.L. Collins, I heard him say one time, amen, you can preach the same message about 2 or 3 years later, most folks don't even remember. Amen.
Yeah.
And that's about the way it is. Praise God. Our memories and attention spans aren't great these days. Hallelujah. But the Lord will help us. I like to deal with a very, very broad topic on God's people in a godless world. Amen. God's people in a godless world. Hallelujah. God wants our love to abound more and more. Hallelujah.
Right.
He wants us, and praise God, he said, them to approve the things that are excellent. He wants them to serve God with sincerity. I don't know that I've ever seen such a generation that serves God, not really, and I'm not being negative here, but not so much with sincerity as a lot of times we get tied up with the motion. You know, we get tied up with the routine. Well, we do this, we do that, everybody else does that. But no, God wants somebody to serve him with sincerity of heart. Hallelujah. Amen. He wants them to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Praise God. This Philippian church live in a godless generation, and so do you and I. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The average church member is not living its best for the Lord. I don't believe. Amen. As Brother Scotty or Brother Tommy, one of them said already in this service, if we really thought a whole lot about God, we would put God first in our life every single day. Hallelujah. Amen. And I don't, a lot of these are basic things I'd like to talk to us about, but you'd pray every day. You'd seek the Lord every day. Amen. You'd read your Bible every day. You'd come to service every time the door. If you really got serious about God, hallelujah. Amen. We need to live a more consecrated, the first point I'd like to make, a more consecrated Christian life. Hallelujah. In the New Testament days, the people took note of the believers that they had been with Jesus. Amen. Why did they notice this? Because these people were different. Hallelujah. And when you really get consecrated and you really begin to serve God with all of your heart, amen, others around you look and say, that person is different. Amen. They got something different. They act different. They have a different spirit. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to get consecrated and I want to get dedicated to God. Hallelujah. I want to have a daily prayer life. I want to study God's word daily. I want to bring forth fruit for the kingdom daily. Amen. I want to have a daily walk with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. You know this thing, you don't get to have a really, what you say, a bad day. Amen. You don't get to wake up one day and say, well, I'm tired of living for the Lord, I'm going to live for the devil today. No, you got to live for God every single day. Hallelujah. Amen. Matter of fact, you know, it was said here a while back, somebody said, don't you ever think about saying a cuss word? Don't you ever think about doing something? I've never thought about saying a cuss word. Amen. I've been saved since I was 13 years old. I've stuck my thumb. Matter of fact, my thumbnail's just now growing out where I hit it all the way back this before the first of the year, I think it was the last week of December, and it still ain't grown out. Man, I hit it hard. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did you think about it? Never even entered my mind to say a cuss word. Hallelujah. Have you had bad days? Have you ever thought about just chilling out, drinking a beer? Never one time thought about it. Praise God. Why? Because I made my mind up. Amen. I'm going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. If the day goes like I wanted, if life goes like I planned, if life goes like I did not plan, amen, this
just one thing. I'm talking about total consecration. I made my mind up. Lord, you're number one in old Jason's life. And nothing else matters, praise God. That's why I come to preach to you today, church. Amen. Why don't you pray for me, the Lord, to help me? Why don't you pray that God would open your mind and open your heart up to say, God, I want to be consecrated. I want to be dedicated every day of my life. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I want to show appreciation for what the Lord's done for me.
Amen, buddy.
Hey, he saved you. Yes. You could be in hell tonight.
That's right.
Woo!
Sir.
Amen. Different ones in my family lived an ungodly life. And I'm not here to say nothing negative about any of them. But some of them died, amen, looked like unprepared to meet God. That could have been me. I could be in hell today. I could have been in hell, amen, facing the judgment of God. But for the mercy of God, he saved me. But for the mercy of God, he reached down to where I was. And he pulled me up. And he put my feet on a solid rock. Amen. And I can't consecrate my life to him for what he's done for me. Hallelujah. Brother Chandler stood to his feet a couple services ago and talked about how the Lord brought him off of drugs. Amen. I didn't know that. And I'm not saying that negative. I've heard Brother Tommy say the Lord's brought him off drugs and alcohol and things like that. Amen. Great God, I come to tell you, church, if he done that for you, can't you get in your life? Can't you get in everything you got? Can't you get up in the morning and say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the, amen, if the birds can give him praise, can't we give him praise? Yes, the evening was late. The sun was setting. It was still a little bit daylight. Branson ain't been feeling good. Amen. I don't know if he's teething or what's going on. Been running a low-grade fever. He's all clogged up and not breathing good. Amen. He's crying. And we got him outside. The birds were singing. The sun was setting. And he was calm as a cucumber. Hallelujah. And Michelle said he likes to sit outside. And they was all piddling around doing this and doing that. Trying to get packed up for youth camp, and I was just sitting out there, me and old Branson outside, and listening to the birds sing, and I got joy to wrap it up, bubbling up in my heart, and I thought, man, if Branson likes it out here, because he hears the birds sing, I ought to like it too, amen, and I heard whatever chirping, I heard all the animals in nature, amen, making their noises, and I began to thank God, you've been good to me, Lord. Lord, if the birds can sing praise, amen, they don't have no refrigerator with food stored up tomorrow, but the birds going to get up in the morning and depend on God to give it a bite. Hey, amen, I got food in the refrigerator. I got food in the freezer. I got food in the cabinet. Amen. God, you've been good to me, Lord. I'm going to give you my life. I said, I'm going to give you my life. I live for him. And one of these days, I'm going to die for him. Amen. Hey, church, you can consecrate your life and depend on God.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Oh, I call for you. A certain girl gave her heart to the Lord when she was just a teenager. Later, she married an unsaved man. Biggest mistake of her life. Did you hear me?
Amen.
Yeah.
You young people that's in this house today, I'm not saying this just to hear words speaking. Single most, you know, Warren Buffett at one time was the richest man in the world. He's not anymore. But I've listened to a lot of, you know, you get on YouTube, as Brother Scotty said, and I enjoy, you know, a lot of the rich guys I don't have no interest in listening to, but I like to listen to Warren Buffett. He makes a lot of good sense, and he's kind of a common guy in a lot of ways. He still lives in the same house that he bought in the 50s, the same old ranch-style brick house. Amen, Barry, even though he's got all kinds of money, he still lives a meager life. Amen. And they asked Warren Buffett this question. They said, Warren Buffett, what was the Amen. The single most important decision that you ever made in your life. Amen. And no doubt they thought he was going to give them some investing information. All-time greatest investor of all time. Amen. He's invested in companies. I guess he owns special men. He owns companies all across the world. Maybe they thought he was going to talk about some important investment decisions that he ever made. And he said this, these words. He said, the single most important decision that I've ever made in my life was the woman I chose to marry. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Hey, you young boys, and I know we got some back there, don't we? Amen. But I like to tell you the single most decision, the most important decision you'll ever make is the decision to follow the Lord. That's I differ with Buffett a little bit. Amen. The single most important decision you'll ever make is whether you serve the Lord or whether you serve the devil. But the second most important decision that you ever made in your life, especially if you're a child of God, and especially if you want to go to church, and especially if you want to raise your kids up in the house of God and teach them to love God, is who you decide to marry. That's the most important decision that you'll ever make. You can get a lot of other decisions wrong, but don't get that one wrong. Don't mess that one up. You don't want to marry outside the faith. You don't want to marry a woman or a boy, amen, that don't think nothing about God. It'll haunt you the rest of your life. Amen. And I want you to know, it's super important who you marry.
Yes, it is.
Well, this girl married the wrong guy. Amen. And it really went bad. She had several children. Amen. She raised them kids up by herself to serve the Lord and to fear God. It can be done. It's hard without two. Amen. Woo. And it's way harder on a woman. Amen. I didn't know this. I come across this statistic the other day. But 70% of families, amen, that are raised, praise God, and if the man will turn to God, 70% of the time that family will go towards God. It's very important to have a godly man in the house. I don't want to get too sidetracked here. This ain't my message, amen. But I like to tell you men to be the priest of your house. Hallelujah. That's who God has called the man to be in the house, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, great God in heaven. I'm getting a little deeper and deeper in this. Hallelujah. Amen. A man ought to be the head of his house. Amen. And what does that mean? He stands up and says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to put God first. As for me and my house, we're going to pray. As for me and my house, we're going to read and study and devote our life and build our life around the Word of God and around God's house and put God first in our life. And 70, amen, something percent of the time, amen, the woman will come right along. Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
So make your mind up, I'm going to do it. Well, in this particular situation, disease had set in, amen, and that mother come down with a chronic illness, and she began to die. She called her husband in, and she said, honey, I'd love to see you get saved, and I'd love to see you serve the Lord. She said, I've raised these three, I think it was three kids up, amen, to fear God and to serve God, and it's up to you from this point. My days are numbered, and my time is almost over. And it didn't affect him very much. He went off out of the room, and she called her children in, and she said, amen, you babies, I want you to know mommy loves you, and I want you to know I've raised you up in the house of God, amen, to serve the Lord, and I want you to serve the Lord and come to heaven and meet mommy one day. She is saying her goodbyes. Hallelujah. Amen. And time had it that she died, and they had her funeral, and they took her out and buried her. Amen. And the first night or two, the mom was gone. Amen. In come one of the children and begin to cry to their dad. Amen. Tears running down their face. And he said, what's the matter with you? You hungry? No, I'm not hungry. You hurt? No, I'm not hurt. What's the matter? And they cried. He said, every night, amen, mom would put us in the room and read us the Bible. All three of us babies sit around. Amen. Listen to mommy read the Bible. And after mom read the Bible, amen, we'd get down and pray. And mom would lay her hand on our head and say, God, give my baby strength to serve you. Amen. Raise my babies up in the fear and the admonition
admonition of the Lord. And that one boy got to kind of, and he said, hey man, I don't have nobody to read me the Bible or to pray for me. That old husband began to break down, and he cried, amen, and he prayed, and he said, Lord, would you save me? Now I'm going to raise my babies up. And he laid his hands on their head, and that man got saved. Why? Because of the consecration of a dead wife. Hey, I come to tell you, you need to make your mind up. You need to consecrate your heart and your life that I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I got to move on. I got a lot to preach here.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
We need a power.
Yes.
There is a power that comes from a deep devotional life with God.
Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We want to come to church and have power with God. We want to come to church and the Holy Ghost move. We want to come to church and have a powerful demonstration of the Holy Ghost. But we don't want to devote a deep devoted life to God.
You're all right, brother. You're right.
Yes, you want to prophesy? Like Brother Scotty prophesied, you got to get down in that basement and pray for hours. You want to preach like so and so preach? You got to pray. You want to be used of the gifts, amen, of the Spirit of God? You got to pray. You got to devote yourself. You got to dig down deep and get a hold of them things. And they only come, amen, through prayer and through fasting and through a deeply devoted life with God. If this church is going to be spiritual, if this church is going to grow, we got to have deeply devoted men, women, boys, and girls to make their mind up. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to be deeply devoted. And I'm not going to be moved. Amen.
Good Lord. Thank you. Yes, God.
Begin your day in prayer.
Yes.
Yes.
Ask God for help. Martin Luther, they said with many days, opened up the day with 4 to 6 hours of prayer.
Hour of prayer.
Wesley, what was it? Wesley, I think they said, got up at 4 o'clock and prayed every day of his life from 4 to 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
And somebody told him one time, said, man, I got way too much to do to pray 2 hours every morning. He said, I got way too much to do not to pray 2 hours every morning.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Our problem is we do way too much without God. Yeah. And then we get things in a mess and we get our life in a mess and then we want to try to bring God into it after all that. Amen. Why don't you pray every day?
Right.
Develop a prayer life.
Yeah.
Amen. Get deeply devoted. Hey, I'm talking about God's people in a godless generation. I'm talking about God's people, amen, in a world where people don't think much about God. Devote yourself deeply to God. Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to get devoted, don't you?
Yes, God.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Amen. Do you believe God answers prayer?
Yes. Amen.
Do you believe God moves on prayer? I believe it. So yes. Why don't we pray?
Yes, God.
Why don't we pray?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm not being mean. But I would beg to differ that probably half of us in this house today never pray before we come in this church. No, you don't. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I don't want you to lie.
All right.
If I say, how many of you didn't pray before you come to church? Well, nobody raised their hand on that. But I guarantee you half of you never even prayed a prayer before you came to Sunday afternoon service.
Come on.
And then we come to church and we want the Lord to move. We want the sick to get healed. We want the Holy Ghost to be poured out. We want to be anointed when we sing and the instrument play and all that. And we don't even pray.
All right.
That's rough, man.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's rough, man.
That's true.
Oh, God. I feel the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
I'm feeling the Lord in this house. How devoted are you?
That's right.
We talk so much about, you know, I mentioned before the service started, Brother Chris come in and was aggravating about them B-2 bombers back there. I knew he'd like that. You know, they talk about how all them pilots and aircraft care, all that stuff happened yesterday. They said it all was executed flawlessly. Let me tell you something. They just didn't get up yesterday morning
No, sir.
Say, let's try to get this done.
No, sir. No, sir.
But they spent day after day after day after day after day of their life getting ready for that one operation.
One operation. That's right.
Hello, Lord.
Yes. I read sometime back about old Usain Bolt. Now, you know, I don't know so much about all this stuff. But at one time, I don't know if he still is. At one time, he was the fastest man alive, they called him. He was a runner. No, Brother Chandler was a. He got long legs. Actually, he could run fast. Amen. But old Usain Bolt, he's a Jamaican. Wasn't he? I think he was Jamaican. He's the fastest man alive. They call him. That's what they called him. And I never realized this. Till I read that article. It said that he trained Brother Kipton for 4 years. 4 years. Every day of his life, he got up, ran to run that whatever dash, how many yard that? I think it was 9 seconds or less. That guy trained for 4 years to run for 9 seconds. Woo. He didn't just get up on the day of the race and say, I think I'm going to win that race. No, he ran every day of his life to run a race that lasted 9 seconds.
Woo.
Wow. And then I read about old Phelps. You know, I was coming across some guys. Old Michael Phelps, he was that swimmer that won, more gold medals than anybody in the history of Olympics.
Yeah.
Won all kinds of Olympic medals.
Yeah.
And he had some kind of mental breakdown after all that and had a lot of hard time getting over it. And his interview and asked him a lot of questions. And he said, it's hard to get up and jump in that pool at 6 in the morning. That pool's cold. Amen. He said, but if I'm going to win, I got to swim every day.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of us like to go swimming on 100 degree days when it's hot outside. Yeah. We say, well, let's go take a swim. And it's fun. But old Phelps had to jump in a pool every day of his life to be the best.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Woo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to tell us is, church, we can't have, amen, a relationship with God when we just pray when we need Him.
When we need Him.
Come on.
First, Scotty said, tell me this morning, some lady called him just when she needs something. You know, always calling me. He said, she's so lazy. She don't ever want to pray through for herself. She just wants to call me.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what a lot of people do. They just want somebody to help them when they get in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. I feel the Lord in this. Why don't we get devoted deeply? Why don't we, amen, have a daily prayer life? Why don't we seek the Lord every day?
Yes, God.
Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We need the Lord, don't we, church? Amen. I said, we need the Lord. Praise God. Amen. We need to pray. Why? Because God can hear and answer prayer. Amen. Our lives should be lives of prayer in every church. Amen. We ought to have members, great God in heaven, who will pray and who will seek the Lord. Amen. For the fire of God. And until the fire of God falls in that church. Moody one time, Spurgeon, I think it was. They asked him, they said, how in the world do you have such response when you preach? Amen. 10, 20, 30 souls at a time would get up and go to the altar in prayer. And it always stirred me so much. That was such a monstrosity of a church, and it had a big basement underneath. And old Spurgeon said, at any given time, it's not the importance of my words. It's not the importance of how I put my sermons together. But he said, at any given time, when I'm up here preaching, there's 700 men and women in the basement of this church that's praying for souls to be saved. Hey, wouldn't that be something? 700 men and women in the basement of that church while the old preacher's up there preaching and a sweating and a spitting and a hollering. 700 men and women down there saying, Lord, save sinners. God, give revival. I come to tell us that's what it takes. It takes a deeply devoted life to God to have revival and to have a move of God. It takes more than just a little move to get you in the house of God here, there, and yonder.
Oh, God.
Do I feel the Holy Ghost in this house?
Holy Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I think you probably have more than you can handle now.
No.
I better hurry.
Oh.
We got to have right concepts. We got to have right beliefs. We got to have right ways. And did you know the Word of God teaches right concepts?
Yes, it does.
And we can't have right things happen when we live wrong concepts.
You're right.
You're right.
Woo.
You're
A New Testament church must be one that is founded upon Jesus and upon what Jesus teaches.
Yes.
I don't want to get in trouble here. Amen, but I've dealt with them. Praise God. Amen, I've dealt with them. They say, well, I don't believe this and I don't believe that. And I said, well, amen, here's what the Bible says. And they, what it really boils down to is they don't agree with what the Bible says. I hate to tell you this today, church. Amen, but if you don't agree with what the Bible says, you're in bad shape. You're a bad saint. You ain't God in heaven and I'm nobody's judge. Amen. But if you are against everything God's against, you're not saved. Amen. Amen. If you are saved and if his book says something that's against your life, you'd be willing to mold your life to that book right there. But if that book says something is sin and you stub up and say, I don't agree with that, hey, I'll tell you why you ain't changing and I'll tell you why you carry that same old bad spirit, because you ain't saved to start with. Because if you was really saved, you'd do what it took to please God Almighty, and you'd live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. When you really get saved, you want to please God.
You're right.
You won't be living to please the flesh, you'd be living to please God.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Woo! Is this all right?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
You know, so many people get so much caught up. And I read this thing a while back about Lent. This church believes in Lent. I still ain't really 100% sure on what Lent is, but somebody will get in a season of Lent and they'll give up a lot of stuff. Well, I'm going to give my cigarettes up for 40 days of Lent. I'm going to give my drinking up for 40 days of Lent. I'm going to give my gambling up for 40 days of Lent. Great God, if it's wrong in 40 days, it's wrong the 40 days after Lent.
Come on.
Hey, man, I don't know how we get such mixed up and get so many things mixed up. Glory to God. We get this universalism. And I don't want to be mean here, but I even heard a good holiness preacher preach this one time that we're all sons of God. Amen. Amen. Everybody born is born the son of God. No. 100% no. Amen. Yes, we're all children of God. We're all born in the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But in order to become the sons of God, you got to be born again. Amen. Not of the nature, but of the heavenly nature. If I'm going to be a true born son or daughter of God, it comes through blood bought, born again. Amen. Salvation. You can't go to heaven unless you've been born again.
Amen. Yes, sir.
John 1 and 12. As many as received him, to them gave he the
power
to become the sons of God.
Right.
In order to become a son of God, he has to give you power. What does that power come through? It comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
What about purgatory? Amen. God's going to put me somewhere and we're going to burn the sin off of me. He said someplace, you know, I've heard some, and I don't want to get into denominations, but I heard some denominations say there's a place, just depending on what God will put you. Amen. He'll clean you up and get you ready for heaven. No!
Dude.
That's not what the Bible teaches.
Dude.
Right. The Bible said as a tree falls, so shall it lie.
Right.
Amen. How you leave this life is how you stand before God.
Amen. Sure.
There ain't no getting ready room.
No.
There ain't no someplace in between heaven and in between hell where you go out there for a certain period of time and God cleans you up and gets the sin out of your heart. Now, no, that happens right here.
Right.
That happens while you still got breath coming out your lungs. That happens while you got blood still beating through your veins.
Right.
While your heart's still pumping hot, blood hot through your veins. You got to make your mind up right now. Amen. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. There ain't some intermediate place. There's not some purgatory. There's not some place you can get ready to meet God. You get ready to meet God today. Today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. It's a lie that the devil would like for you to believe. You gotta be ready, amen, to meet God today.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Yes, Lord.
There's an old man one time went to church every service, and he was deaf. He couldn't hear. And they didn't have somebody up there signing either. Amen. Yet that old man, he is stone deaf and he never missed a service. A scoffer said to him one time, said, "Hey, buddy, why in the world do you go to church every service and you can't hear a thing that's going on?" And here, I love his response. He said, "I want to let my neighbors and I want to let everybody know whose side I'm on." Glory to God. Amen. We need revival. Amen. We need zeal. Oh, God, give us the zeal of a missionary. That old missionary will leave his life and he'll leave his home. Oh, Brother Josh Hill come by and preach for us a few weeks back. Amen. He was selling his truck. I just felt sorry in my heart. He was selling his truck, selling their things here in the States, and they're moving to another country. That takes zeal, don't it? That takes some determination, don't it? Take an old preacher. He'll go over there in a foreign country where he ain't hardly got a car that'll start. He ain't hardly got no money. Amen, Sister Peggy. Great God, she told me before church. She said she's had an air conditioner all these years since she got married, but she ain't never used it. I said, great God in heaven, I couldn't get along at your house. Amen. I gotta have an air conditioner. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine going to a foreign country? Ain't got no air conditioner. Ain't got the luxuries of life that we're come accustomed to in America. But that old missionary's got zeal. And he said, I want to go do something for God. Give us some people in our churches that have a zeal like that. That'll say, Lord, no matter what, I want revival. And I want to move with God. And that's a church that the devil can't do nothing with. But you got to get a desire.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Holy God. Hope.
Yes.
Church.
Come on.
I can preach all day, but I cannot give you a desire.
Why?
You got to get it.
Right.
You got to pray for it.
Right.
You got to get serious.
Right.
And you got to say, God, give me a desire.
Yes, sir.
Oh, God.
My Lord.
Yes.
You done? Are you done?
No. Thank
you, Jesus. We need to remember, amen, that Jesus Christ can come back at any minute.
That's the truth. Oh, God.
His coming is imminent. What does that mean? That means nothing. Is holding back the coming of the Lord. And he could come back right now. Hallelujah. Any minute, he might break through the blue. Any minute, he might come riding. Amen. On the clouds. Amen. Oh, yes. Great God in heaven. If we realize that he might come at any minute, we would live our life different. Hey, you would think Iran would be watching heaven. Great God. You think Iran, they're in war with Israel right now. You think they'd be watching. I don't know exactly how many. It was way more than just the B-2 bombers. They had lead planes coming in. Amen. Protecting those. Somebody said it could have been as high as 20 planes. Flew in Iran last night at 205 or 210 in the middle of the night. Hey, they come in and bombed that place. Three major nuclear sites and got out of Iran. And they never even knew it happened. Hey, church, if America can do that with a B-2 bomber, fly the country and they don't even know they're there. Let me tell you something. The Lord's about to come back. He's got something better than a B-2 bomber. And he's going to come in an hour. Wait a thing not. Get ready, get ready, get ready. I said the Lord's coming. You better get ready. He's coming. He's coming. Just any minute.
Woo! Yes, God. Holy Lord. Holy, holy, holy.
Woo!
Yes,
you feel the Holy Ghost.
Jesus.
Oh.
Jesus.
In the light of the past, we think of the cross and all that Christ has done for us. You better get ready.
Yeah.
Oh God.
He saved you. He pulled you out of sin. He separated you. Why? To get you ready. for what's all getting ready to happen.
Amen.
There ain't but two ways of getting out of here, Brother Scotty. And that's by the way of the grave, or by the coming of the Lord.
Right.
How you plan on getting out, Brother Jason? I don't know. I'm not God. I can't predict the future. I don't have a crystal ball. If I had one, I don't operate like that. Amen. Hallelujah. But Brother Chandler, I tell you what I'm doing. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking for Him to come. And when He comes, I'm looking to ride back with Him.
Yes.
Amen. The Bible teaches, and they which are dead in Christ shall rise first.
Yep.
And then when we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord. Where?
In the air.
In the air. What is the air? The air is the devil's domain.
Yeah.
And we're going to defeat the devil in his own territory.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Woo! Man, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Stand with me in this house, I'm done. Amen. Oh, God's people, in a godless world, He hasn't left us in the dark. Amen. But Scotty, I spoke to my heart there a while ago. Hey! In time, it's going to come more clear. And yes, in this life, and also for the next, it's going to become more clear. Why? Because He's coming for us. He's not going to leave us stranded. He's not going to leave us in the dark. But He's made a way. I said He's made a way, church. Aren't you glad for the way that He's made? Aren't you glad for the way that He's made for the church?
Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Holy God.
Praise God.
Now my desire for you today. Amen. Won't you get serious about it?
Come on. Come on. Holy.
Won't you get serious about it? I'm not being mean whatsoever. I'm not being mean to you. I love you. That's why I'm trying to tell you these few little stern words that I'm telling you. You better get serious about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, God.
Or you're going to get caught unprepared. Unprepared.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it's so much going on right now. I've been reading a lot of headlines. They said that old supreme leader of Iran, last night when he found all that out was going on, they said he ran and shook in fear and hid for cover.
Woo! Hey, you're the guy.
Should have been ready for that.
You're the guy, amen, that wouldn't go by all the negotiations and all. Everybody said you're not allowed to have nuclear weapons and all that stuff. And he went running in fear.
Yeah.
Yes.
When the time came, he should have been brave. He went running in fear. I'm probably in a big bunker somewhere.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Let me tell you something, church. When the Lord comes back,
There
ain't going to be nowhere to hide.
No, they ain't.
Right. Where should I hide?
There ain't no bunker deep enough.
No, sir.
There ain't no cave far enough back in the hillside. You'll get away from Him. I want to be ready, don't you?
Yes.
I want to be prepared.
Yes, sir.
I want to get serious. I want to get deeply devoted to God. I'm asking you. I'm trying to influence you. I'm trying to beckon you. I'm trying to challenge you here today to get serious about this. Is this all right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
I really am. I'm trying to challenge you today. To get serious about you and God.
Yes, sir.
To get serious about you, God, and your church.
Yeah.
To get serious about you, God, and your life.
Yeah.
Amen. Pray, fast, study, read His word. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to His church.
Yeah.
Amen. Give everything you can to God.
Yes. Yeah.
Because time's coming to an end where we ain't going to be able to.
You're right.
Come on.
You're right.
Well, these days we're going to stand before Him, Brother Tommy.
Yeah.
And the books will be opened.
Jesus.
Oh, sure.
The books will be opened.
Yeah.
And we'll give an account for everything we've ever done.
Yes.
So true.
I've never really been in what's that courtroom. I went down one time to protest the speeding ticket. You know, I wasn't very much scared of that old judge. What could he hit me with? $179 speeding fee, you know. That's bad enough. But I wasn't super scared of him. But you know what? One of these days, we're going to stand before the God of all the universe.
Oh, you're right.
And I've heard people say, I'm going to tell God this, and I'm going to tell God that. I tell you what you're going to do. John laid his head on the bosom of Jesus. John heard the heartbeat of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And when he seen him in the spirit there, the Bible said he fell down as a dead man.
Yes, sir.
Woo! Oh, yeah. Hey, you ain't going to tell God nothing.
You're right.
You're going to fall down, and you're going to be speechless, and you're going to quiver, and you're going to shake, and you're going to listen to judgment as it comes your way.
Yes, Lord.
I tell you what I'd rather do. I'd rather get it settled right now. I'd rather just get it settled right now and say, Lord, I'm going to give you my all. Amen. I preach to you in my heart. I really have. These altars are open. We ought to fill this altar up here. We ought to say, Lord, I'm going to give you my whole heart, my whole life. I'm deeply devoted, Lord. I want to pray. Amen. That's not a lot. God's not asking a lot of us to really devote our life and have a daily prayer life, study His Word, put God first. Amen. Raise our children right, pray, lead them towards Him. God's not asking a lot of us. But we're not being serious with God. We're not being serious with God.
God, I'm not being serious with God. Oh, Lord, to hear you. God, I just like.
Won't you get serious with God?
I made up my mind, no matter what others say, I will follow. and to make a choice. What a brother can stand against this evil force. After all God's done for me, Jesus' blood has set me free. Choose to walk in liberty, and I've made up my mind. I've made up my mind, no matter what others say. I made up my mind, no matter what others say, I will fall. made of my love.